Okay, folks, again, I am podcasting from Tbilisi, from the terrace at Envoy Hostel, and it is October 28th, and I'm just doing some general topic podcasts on my last day here in Georgia, taking a little bit of a chill day. So this one I've been wanting to do for a while, just haven't gotten around to do it, but this one I'm calling Travel Inspo. And this is really just a shout out to all of the people in my life that have inspired me to travel and to keep traveling. So on this trip and others, I've gotten little comments from people on social media, just loving the pictures, loving the podcast, loving the stories and stuff, and saying that they're inspired and everything, and all that. Just wow, it just means a lot, because I know that in my life, and I've seen other people do really cool trips and things, and it's inspired me. And so I want to dedicate this podcast to some of those people in my life that have just inspired me to kind of, you know, go to other countries and see the world and stuff. So I'll just start with, this might be a little bit of a longer one. So I'll just start with kind of my early travel as a kid. I traveled, more than some, not as much as others, but basically, with my family, we had opportunity to go to Mexico, I believe, 3 times. So that was probably my first overseas experience. Actually, I will say we also went to Canada for Expo 86. So that was another trip, but Mexico really was my first overseas experience. And when I say experience, you know, we did the typical American tourist stuff. Like we went to Mazatlan, and stayed in a hotel by the beach and do all that stuff. But still, you have really cool experiences while you're doing that. And one I remember really vividly was me and my brother taking the Pulmonía, the little open air taxi cart, like sort of golf cart thing, to this little water slide place where we were playing with other like kids and like stopping up the water slide with a bunch of kids piling up, and then the kid in front would let go and we'd all just pile into the pool. And it was my first experience with like negotiating with shopkeepers and taxi drivers and stuff like that. You know, first experience like souvenir shopping and, you know, just the typical kind of family vacation type stuff. But we also did a slightly, well, somewhat less touristy trip where we visited. We had had this, we had 2 different exchange students when I was growing up, one from Tapachula, Mexico, her name was Amelia, and one from Saltillo, Mexico, his name was Juan, and both were really great. I think Amelia was my older sister's age, and she was really fun, and Juan was maybe my age, and I remember we took Juan to my Jewish summer camp, and everybody loved him. He was just so funny, and he just made everyone laugh, and he was just a great kid. And so one of our trips to Mexico, we stayed with Amelia's family down in Tapachula, which, if you look at a map, it's way down in southern Mexico. And her family owned like a coffee business, and so her house was attached to, I guess it was like sort of the coffee warehouse where they bag the beans and stuff. And we got to do a little tour of like this coffee plantation and see how coffee beans were grown. And that was really cool. I also have a vivid memory of me and Gavin, my brother, with Amelia's brother, who I'm sorry, I don't remember his name, but, he had this BB gun, and we went, there was this little, like storage room that had a bunch of bats in it. So we'd like open the door real quick and like shoot the BB gun at the bats and then close the door real quick so the bats wouldn't attack us. I don't know. That really stands out in my mind. So those are some of my like early experiences in Mexico. When I was about 16, we also got a chance to go to Thailand. And also Hong Kong, and that was really amazing. We went to Bangkok and saw some sites around Bangkok, like the Reclining Buddha and the, it's been a while, but there was like this big temple, and we like went through some of the canals, and I remember the food being really interesting. It was probably my first experience with Thai food. And I remember we also went to Phuket, to Patong Beach, which was tragically, you know, hit hard by the Asian tsunami years later. We just had a great time in Thailand, and I remember that being, that had a big impression on me. Following Thailand, we spent not very long. I think it was just a couple of days in Hong Kong. So that was an eye-opening experience. And I remember this is, I was 16. So this must have been the late 80s. It was the first time I seen people walking around with cell phones. And these are those big brick Motorola style brick phones and stuff. But it seemed like everybody had them. So, you know, and at that time in the States, nobody had cell phones. I mean, it just wasn't a thing. I think there maybe were like some people had car phones or something, but you know, I was like, wow, everybody's walking around with a telephone in their hand. Isn't that crazy? And seeing some of the, like the gold jewelry shops and things like that. And some of the food was really crazy and interesting. And, you know, of course it wasn't like the Chinese food that we had back at home, and they had things like snake and pigeon on the menu. And I remember that being a big experience. And, So, those are some of my early experiences. And then growing up in high school, I studied Japanese. And so you're required to take 2 years of a foreign language, and I chose Japanese. It was kind of a toss-up between Japanese or Russian, which they had just started offering at Portland Public Schools. Excuse me. And so I just, on a whim, chose Japanese. It just sounded interesting. And once I completed my two-year requirement, you have the option of continuing to study. So I basically said to my parents, look, if I'm going to keep studying Japanese, I want to go visit Japan. So they arranged for a homestay for me summer before my junior year, I believe. And I did a home. I stayed with a family in Matsuyama, Japan, which is on the western side of Shikoku, which is a place in Japan that not many people go to. And Matsuyama is roughly if I remember correctly, it's roughly the size of Portland. So it's a kind of a medium-sized city. And there's this beautiful castle up on this hill right in the middle of the city. My host family, the Yokomotos, were super nice and friendly. There was Emmy and Taro, which were my host sister and brother. And unfortunately, my paltry 2 years of Japanese didn't get me very far as communication goes. But I kind of struggled through it. And I guess that was like really my first experience as like a solo traveler in this foreign place. And so, you know, it was a little scary, very much exciting. Just a wonderful experience. The first night they picked me up, we were trying to communicate, and they asked me what I wanted to eat, and I had never had sushi. So I'm like, well, I want to have sushi. So we went to a sushi. I remember this vividly, this first experience in this like sushi bar, and just trying all these different fish for the first time. And I think I remember kind of liking it, although it was, you know, it was definitely like I was intimidated at first and not sure what I was eating and stuff. But I remember eating maguro for the first time and ika for the first time. And I'm not sure if they had salmon, but I tried some different fishes and stuff. And I feel like I kind of liked everything, and miso, even just like miso soup I hadn't had before. So they like showed me how to stir up the cloudy miso in the soup and eat it, and the right way to eat it. Staying with the family, I got the opportunity. My host dad was owned a construction company and they built houses. So I had a couple days where I got to like work on the house and stuff and just do like manual labor. And that was really cool. And then eating like a bento lunch with the other workers and stuff. There was this cultural center called EPIC where I took some cultural classes. So I took a Sado class, which Sado is traditional tea ceremony. So it was really interesting. I kind of made friends with these two Swedish guys that were staying there too. I believe there was an Australian girl there too that I made friends with. And I remember we all went out one night and hung out. I think it might have been a bar. I don't know. I was pretty young, but I think we were in a bar and even ordering drinks and stuff. So I just felt really cool and adult and stuff. And I don't know. I can't say enough for if you have kids out there that are going to be teenagers, you know, definitely consider putting, if they're interested, you know, arranging a homestay for them, because there's nothing quite like that experience to just open your eyes to the world and just to be off on your own, for the first time in another country is such a cool experience. And that definitely encouraged me to keep studying Japanese and to keep like learning about the culture and everything. So I continued on in college, and obviously living there for a couple of years after college. So Japan has just become kind of like my second home through, and that really was inspired by some of my early experiences as a, you know, doing a homestay. So also I want to give out a shout out to my good friend, John, who I lived, we didn't live together in Japan, but we lived there at the same time. He moved out to Honatsugi, which is in Kanagawa Prefecture, and got a job at Hitachi and helped kind of pave a way for me to kind of come move to Japan. Introduced me to Stu, who actually went to University of Oregon, or was in some of our Japanese classes. And Stu had, it's kind of a complicated story, but basically he was good friends with this guy whose girlfriend owned a house in Chofu, which is kind of a suburb of Tokyo. And so when John left the house, there was a spot for me. And so it was basically paying 50,000 yen a month, which is nothing. It's like $500 a month, to live in a full family size house. John gave me a lot of advice about getting jobs and stuff. And so I moved there, and I think within 2 weeks I got a job at ICC, which is the school that he taught at for a while, when he first moved to Japan. And it ended up being just such a great experience. And I could do several podcasts just on that life in Japan during those 2 years. But basically, like, we would, he would come in from Kanagawa almost every weekend, and we'd go out to clubs and stay out all night at clubs and stumble out at 6 a.m. the next morning and, you know, come crash at my apartment, and then I would have to go to work on Sundays at the Ikebukuro branch, you know, having no sleep, you know, basically just like riding around on the train, like sleeping on the train for like an hour, and then going into school, taking like a sponge bath in the bathroom, and then teaching like an 8-hour day the next day. And we would do that every weekend pretty much. Like, it's insane now thinking about it, but you know, John introduced me to, you know, he had kind of had a head start in Japan and, you know, introduced me to a lot of like, cool things that he had already discovered. And, we just had a great time there. And, so there's that, but, you know, John and I knew each other from college, and I got involved with his company, English Baby, and we did a trip together with Jewel and Jason, two of our other friends, to China, to help make some videos for his company, and then he and I went to Cambodia after that, and we had a great experience doing China and Cambodia. We also did another English baby trip. Oh, and so that China trip was for the 2008 Olympics. We also did another trip 2 years later in 2010 to Vancouver, where John, Jewel, Jason, and Matt, the video videographer, and I rented a RV, and we like drove up to Vancouver for the Olympics up there. Years later, John's wife, Stephanie, had never been to Japan and had always wanted to go. And so, we planned kind of a trip, with our friend Matt, to go to Tokyo, and we rented an Airbnb, and it was just like such a fun adventure. We celebrated John's 40th birthday in Japan, and it was really fun seeing things through Stephanie and Matt's eyes, and I've got lots of stories about that. Just like their first ramen experience, their first izakaya experience, and we hanging out at the izakaya, and then making friends with this table full of nurses, and we brought some of them over and started teaching them drinking games, and they had never heard of a sake bomb, so they loved it. So we like showed them how to do a sake bomb, and then some of them came out with us, or we all went out to karaoke afterwards, and Matt was just buying pitcher after pitcher and loved just getting on the intercom and calling up more pitchers of beer, and then like just stumbling into random people's karaoke booths and hanging out with random people. We did Stephanie and I conspired to do a sort of amazing race around Tokyo for John. So we basically had all these little challenges for him to do and go from place to place. And we spent like a whole day doing this like amazing race thing. So it was just fun. I would love to recreate that someday. But you know, it's harder to do when you have kids and all that, but you know, the kids will grow up eventually and I'm sure we'll do some sort of reunion tour, maybe even next year in for the 2020 Olympics. So, John is definitely one of my best friends, and he's also done some amazing adventures that have inspired me, you know, going to Croatia and places like Croatia and Nicaragua and Baja, Mexico with his dad, and, just hiking trips around the U.S. and, kind of got into backpacking through him and some of his, now my South Eugene friends. John and Miguel and Kyle, they're all friends from South Eugene, and I've since become friends with them. They all, after Japan, did a European backpacking tour for I think like 4 months, and I always regretted not joining them on that tour, and that's part of the reason why I'm kind of doing the hostel thing now, which is, you know, just making up for lost time, and, you know, and seeing little bits of Europe and other parts of the world and staying at hostels and stuff and pretending to be a 20-year-old, but, you know, seeing some of their adventures just really, like, inspired me. So John is definitely someone that inspires me to travel, and I think likewise I do the same for him. And so throughout these trips, I'm like telling him about these places, and you know, you got to go here, you got to go there. So it's great to have friends like that just, you know, continue to push you to see and experience new things. The next person I want to shout out to is Paige Lee, who's another college friend of mine, and she has traveled extensively. I can't even name all the places that she's been, but it's quite a few. But mostly I want to thank her for introducing me to Habitat for Humanity. When I first talked to her about Habitat, she had already done two builds, one in Kenya and one in Thailand. And I had seen her pictures and was just really awestruck by, you know, that kind of experience and what it must be like. And I remember having a phone conversation with her while I was at a going away party for one of my friends, Rob. And she's like, hey, you should come to Nepal with us. We're going to Nepal. And I was just at a point in my life where I was just feeling pretty down and life was kind of meaningless and stuff. And so I'm like, heck yeah, that sounds amazing. So Nepal was always one of those places where I just, you know, felt really drawn to. And, you know, you look at a globe of the world or a map and you just see these places and you know just maybe a couple facts about them. And you don't know why, but you're just sort of, you just feel this pull, you know, like, I want to see that. I want to experience it. And I think that's what travel's all about, is like scratching that itch, you know? So at that time, you know, it was like the right thing at the right time. You know, I was like, I want to go to Nepal and I want to have this experience. And so I was so glad I did. So I, you know, joined up and in that trip we did a trek before the build. So we, you know, we all met up in Kathmandu. Oh, and so that trip to Nepal was the same year that John and Stephanie and Matt and I went to Japan. So I went to Japan and they left, and then I flew to Nepal to go do the Habitat for Humanity build. So that was like one of the first times that I think it wasn't the first time I did like multiple countries like in succession, because I had done Spain and Turkey with my previous girlfriend Nicole, but this was first time doing Habitat for Humanity, so it definitely felt really special and fun. So anyway, we met up in Kathmandu and then flew to Lukla, and that's a one of a kind experience. So for those that don't know, Lukla is this tiny little airport on the top of this mountain. I think it's at like 9,000 something feet. And so you fly in this little small like turbo or propeller plane, and then you're just flying like right into this mountain basically, and it's the runway is slanted. You just land and it stops really quickly, and it's pretty intense and pretty interesting. So you fly into Lukla, and then we had some guides and then some porters that carry most of your stuff, and then we trekked to this one town, which I can't remember the name. When I say town, I mean, it was just like a couple of little guest houses. So you stay in these little tea houses, and then that town, and then another day of trekking, we go to Namche Bazaar, which is kind of the launch point for people going up to base camp. So it's a more of a proper town. And we had a great group of people. I won't go through and name everybody. We can do a separate podcast just about Habitat for Humanity and stuff. But basically did Namche Bazaar and then went up to Tangboche Monastery, which is at about, I think like 14,500 feet or something like that. Did a helicopter ride, with three other people, flying over base camp and seeing Mount Everest up close or whatever. Then did the habitat build down in Chitwan, and that was just amazing. And it was a blitz build, so there were like 1,200 volunteers building an entire village all at once. So that was kind of different than the typical habitat build. But suffice to say, I credit Pagely with getting me involved in habitat. So since then, I've done builds with her in Bali and Lesotho, and now most recently in Jordan. And I just love talking with travel, love talking with her about travel. I think last year, or maybe it was earlier this year, she hiked Mount Kilimanjaro. She speaks fluent Italian, her mom is Italian, and so they've got a house in Florence, and they go to Italy all the time, and someday I hope to go travel with them to Italy. And I know her and her husband Ed went to Sri Lanka on their honeymoon, and there's just so many places that she's gone that I'm super inspired by. And so she's definitely like somebody on my list that inspires me to go seek out new adventures, and not just travel, but like doing, you know, giving back and doing things like Habitat and charity work and stuff. And I don't think I'll be running any marathons anytime soon, which she does, but it sure is inspiring to watch her adventures. So the next people I want to mention are Glenn and Chris and Melissa, who I all met on the Habitat build in Bali. So Glenn is an amazing dude. He was an executive at Mattel for a long time and then retired at 47. And now he spends a good amount of time just traveling around the world. It was the first, I think meeting him might have been the first time that I met somebody who had done these round the world trips. And now it's a thing. So I think he had done two separate round the world trips, plus just visited so many other countries. He's been to the Arctic and the Antarctic. And he's in his 60s, but he has more energy than a lot of people in their 20s. So just very inspiring guy and just a great friend. And I was glad to reunite with him Jordan for our latest build. Chris and Melissa were a couple that I met in Bali as well, and they were basically doing Habitat for Humanity as part of a 3-month honeymoon around Southeast Asia. So I think they got married in Thailand and then were traveling around Asia and decided to sign up for a Habitat build as part of that. And I just thought that was so cool. And so the combination of both Glenn's story and Chris and Melissa's story really gave me the inspiration for doing these round the world trips with a Habitat for Humanity build in there. So I've done two of those, or I've done one, and now I'm in the process of doing a second one, and maybe I'll keep doing them. I don't know if I can find the time and money. I think when I first talked to Chris and Melissa, it just didn't even fit in my mind that you could just take 3 months off and go travel that long. And it's crazy because since then I've met all these people that have traveled for a year or 2 years or 5 years or even 8 years. And hearing their stories, you just opens up your mind to all the possibilities that life has to offer, that you don't have to look at travel as just this, 1 week, vacation to Mexico or someplace like that, or Hawaii. I'll talk a little bit more about that, but, so I really credit Glenn and Chris and Melissa for kind of giving me the inspiration for the types of, travel that I'm doing now. And my other friend April, she's a college friend of mine, and she had worked at Aramark for a good amount of time and then left her job and decided to go on kind of a spirit quest. And I think she might have done a round the world trip too, now that I think about it, but I definitely know that she visited a lot of countries and spent almost a year traveling. I might even be close to 2 years traveling, but definitely has a wanderlust. At the end of that trip, she arrived in Thailand to go track down her mother, who she hadn't seen since she was 4 years old, and eventually did, found her mother, reconnected with her, and then ended up staying in Thailand for might be a year or two. So I just found that story so inspiring and so interesting. Since then, she's done the Camino de Santiago, is preparing to do another, two different Camino trips beginning of next year. She just got back from Mongolia for 3 weeks, and so I've been talking to her about Mongolia, and just definitely has that same sort of attitude about travel and adventure and stuff. So somebody that inspires me a lot. I want to mention my friend Aaron, who I had on this podcast earlier. she travels a lot. Like, she's the one that inspired me to visit Georgia and Lebanon, as well as talk to me a lot about Greece and Egypt and stuff. So she has lived, I think, a year in Morocco and then 6.5 years in UAE. She's currently doing some teaching in Hawaii for like a couple months and then is planning on helping to open up a English school in Baghdad, which is, again, just mind-blowing. So if she does that, I would like to find some way to come visit her, if that's even possible. Aaron, by being in UAE, it's so centrally located that you can take trips to all these other places. So she's been to India multiple times, and Senegal, and Uganda, and all these cool places. And then, of course, you know, it's kicking up. I have to relocate just a second. Okay. So it's just really inspiring, and I love talking to her about her trips, and I loved visiting her in UAE. And if she does go to Baghdad, I want to try to find some way to do an Iran and Iraq tour, which would be crazy. Other people to mention, my friend Ariel spent like multiple months in both New Zealand and India. Has done some other really cool travel to other places. My friend Miranda basically quit her job in Vancouver and then like traveled all around Europe and then settled down in Amsterdam, where she's now working for booking.com, which has inspired me. Like, one of the things I'm thinking about when I get back is to possibly go do the same thing, go work in Amsterdam. Who knows? We'll see how it pans out. I have a lot of other, ideas too, but, you know, just the thought that, you know, I think what happens is people do these things and then it like opens up your mind like, oh, hey, that's possible and you can do it and this person's doing it. So you can kind of follow in their footsteps a little bit. And then people that I've met on this trip, who I've probably already mentioned in previous podcasts, but Abby, who's the American, who's been traveling for a year and a half and been to all these different countries, and I love talking to her about her trip. And she was going to buy a house, but instead took the proceeds to just, like, you know, go and travel indefinitely. And she was an oil and gas engineer. Barbara, who is from Belgium and has been traveling for 5 years straight, does the Camino every year, lives off a small pension, just travels really cheaply, has a very intrepid personality, and very interesting to talk to. And then, of course, there's so many other people I can mention, but I'm just going to leave it at the last, with Rich and Rachel, who are the lovely couple from England that I met from Liverpool, that have been traveling for the past year and fast, I'm sorry, 5 years, and basically fund their travel by signing up for these medical experiments. So unfortunately I had a whole podcast just interviewing them that didn't record. So I'll have to like maybe get their story. I hope to meet up with them some future date, and get their story again. But they're a lovely couple. And there's just so many other people out there that I just don't have time to mention. But I just want to just mention to all of them that you all inspire me. And I appreciate the stories and kind of giving me the ambition to, like, do more and see more. And hopefully if there's other people out there and I'm doing the same for them, that would make me feel great. And of course, if you like want to know any more about any of these people or any of these other adventures, let me know. And if there's people that inspire you to travel, I'd love to hear from you and hear those stories as well. So feel free to message me on any, you know, Facebook or WhatsApp or email me or any of those platforms. So thanks again, all, and safe travels.